number two here, WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkan, Andy Hart with you, and I'm live from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by our New England Ford dealers and the Freedom of Choice. Shop deals for you on the New England Edition F-150, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. And NFL talk on WEEI brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com. Get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. That was Gerard Mayo that you just heard from earlier today. I love when guys say, hey, I don't want to make excuses. I just want to be transparent. And then they give you an excuse for why they couldn't practice that week. It's like, yeah, we know. You couldn't practice last week. We all know that. The Jets couldn't practice either. No one could practice.
Thank you.
And you got your doors blown off, all right? Like, come on.
Right.
And I wanted to play that here because we were going to give you some reasons to be optimistic and reasons to be concerned. I'll go ahead and start with my first concern here, Andy, and that is the coaching matchup. Mm. I'm not one of these Kyle Shanahan truthers. I believe that Kyle Shanahan is still a very good coach in this league with a great coaching tree, and a lot of people try and emulate him, and they try and do that for a reason. You're going up against the rookie head coach, who's a good motivator and who I think can get this team to pull in the same direction, as talent deficient as they may be. But you're talking about now a guy, and this is also Shanahan has problems in the playoffs. He chokes in the big game. This is not a big game. This is Kyle Shanahan's bread and butter, a layup game in the regular season. These are the type of instances where he shines, and I don't know that there's any instance where Gerard Mayo shines yet. So I'd say the coaching disadvantage is my biggest reason, my number one reason for concern with the Patriots.
Mine is sort of similar, but it brings in the talent as well. I just put 49ers are better, both coaching-wise and talent-wise. They are. They're just a better football team on the sidelines, and whether that's the guys with headsets on or helmets on. And that's concerning. Like, I think, you know, we can talk about spots and we can talk about opportunities and motivations and all these other things we get into, and energy that was lacking or energy that returns and blah, 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 blah. Don't you always want to be the more talented, well-coached football team? Always want to be the more talented, well-coached football team. And the 49ers are the more talented, even banged up, and well-coached football team. So absolutely, if they both, like, I know this never happens, but isn't it very simple? If both of these teams play well, the 49ers win, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
If both of them play equally poorly, the 49ers win. Because their ceiling is just higher. Like, their floor is higher. Everything's higher for them. So you need to really outplay and outcoach the 49ers. You need Kyle Shanahan to sound like Bill Belichick at around 7:15 on Sunday. We got outplayed and outcoached, because you need to do both, because both are an advantage for the 49ers right now.
Yeah, I think outplaying them is going to be difficult enough. I mean, it's any given Sunday, so, you know, things happen on the football field sometimes, but the coaching matchup is one that I think is going to be a tough sort of wake-up call here. You know, going up against Taylor week one, a rookie head coach in week two, and then Robert Saleh in week three. We're not talking about exactly the, you know, brain trust in Canton here or anything. You're going up against the legitimate, I think, heavy hitter in the coaching ranks, and a guy who, as I said, everybody tries to be like. So this is going to be, I think this is going to be eye-opening here for Gerard Mayo, for DeMarcus Covington, even for Alex Van Pelt, for everybody. I think this is going to be one of those type of games. All right, why don't you give me one reason for hope this weekend, Andy?
So I am going to look at the, there's a little spin zone coming here. It's a tiny snippet of spin zone. It's a good thing that Ramondre Stevenson has been fumbling and gave the football away last week. And I'm going to tell you why. You didn't ask. I see your eyes wondering, but I'm going to tell you why. First, he's obviously fixating on ball security. Like, he got the ball taken to him from him last week. That was,
yes,
I would say, borderline embarrassing. Like, you could take the ball from me, so who am I to talk? But this is a guy that the talk coming into last week's game was from Gerard Mayo and Jacoby Brissett, how good Ramondre Stevenson is. He's underrated. He's a top 10 running back. No one talks about him. He's one of the best running backs in football. And he had the ball just flat out taken from him. Not hit, not punched, just taken. Just like, nah, he got bullied. This was like a playground bully. Oh, you have a ball? Not anymore.
Took his lunch money.
He took his lunch money. Terrible.
And it's one thing when that happens to, like, a little wide receiver or something. He runs up on a linebacker, the guy gets his hand on the ball, rips it out. This is a Ramondre Stevenson. This is your number one back. This is your bell cow running back.
So why is that a good thing?
It's not. I mean, it's
it is.
Not a good thing.
So he's thinking about it. He's fixated on ball security. And I agree with Curran a little bit. For the most part,
that may make it worse.
Nope. Ball security is going to make it better. And what makes it better for the Patriots offense as a whole is when all those DBs are worried about punching the ball out and grabbing at the ball. Those are broken tackles. Those are big runs. So if the line can give Ramondre Stevenson any room to work I think you are going to see a big yards after contact day because those guys are going for the football when they should be going for the 225-pound man who can make you look silly and made defenders look silly in weeks one and week two. So Ramondre Stevenson, big day in part because the blood in the water from the fumbles creates opportunities for the 49ers in their head, but really creates opportunities for him on the football field. You like it?
I do like that. And that does lead into one of my reasons for hope as well.
Spin zone.
Very good, which is the secondary. I think this Niners secondary is vulnerable. I think it's kind of weak. I think you saw that in the last couple of weeks. Teams with good, not great, but good passing attacks. You could say great in the Vikings' case, but not so much with what the Stafford and the Rams are working with right now. They were able to take advantage of that Niners secondary, and that's with a good safety. I think Fong is a good safety, and I think Javarius Ward's like a good corner, but neither of them are great. Both of them have weaknesses in the pass game, and the rest of that secondary, I feel like, is kind of, you know, like they have a lot of money wrapped up in that offense. They don't have as much devoted to that secondary, and I feel like that's where a lot of expensive players generally are. Like, you look around a lot of teams and where they spend their money, and there was this big boom of cornerbacks and safeties getting paid all this money. And I feel like the Niners just sort of, you know, avoided that somehow. And it's coming back to get them a little bit. They got great players up front. And Hufanga is a playmaker in the secondary. It's not like he doesn't exist. But he can be exploited. He can be exploited back there in a way that Fred Warner can't. Or a way that, you know, Nick Bosa can't. Or Leonard Floyd or Hargrave or any of their other really good players up front can't be. You can get to them. And whether it's missed tackles like you're talking about, whether it's trying to challenge them deep one-on-one, which I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for that here with the Patriots, with the pass rush they're going to be dealing with, and the fact that Brissett isn't exactly a downfield guy. But if they're able to give him any sort of time and they're able to test that secondary, I think there could be some hope there. Absolutely, I think there could.
Are they built to do that is my only question. On paper and
no.
Theory? Yeah, that's my problem. Like, I want to think that, and I'd want to talk myself into that if I was being hopeful and optimistic. I just don't think they're built to take advantage of that. I that's a can't. It's not a want-to problem. That's a can't-do-it kind of problem. So,
right.
What do you want, concern number two from me?
Yeah, give me another concern.
49ers are angry. It's where we started the show.
They're
a little embarrassed. They're a little bit angry. They're probably, the guys that are there are probably a little sick of hearing how they're banged up and, like, you know, I'm pretty good too. I can make play. I just think the and I think you could probably put this, the anger issue and the energy issue probably could be on either side of these lists, but I think the 49ers have a point to prove at home. I think the 49ers have something that they want to show after last week, the embarrassing loss, want to avoid 1-3. And, you know, remember when I said the Bengals were a willing victim on week one?
Yes.
I think the Patriots might be a willing victim in week four in San Francisco.
In the sense that they're going to hurt themselves?
No, just that they are not going to be able to match what the 49ers are bringing in terms
of
energy, effort, and attitude, and just not quite ready for this dogfight that's going to break out.
Yeah, my second one was sort of in that same vein. Like, who's the more desperate team right now? It's the 49ers. The Patriots should be a desperate team, but they also are looking at this with their eyes open. I think they can tell themselves, yeah, you know, we should be 2-2, and we should be able to go out there and win. But they know where they stand. They know what the point spread is. They know how everybody's sort of perceiving this matchup. And maybe that's a good time to sneak up on somebody. But as you just said, it's hard to sneak up on a desperate team, right? It's hard to sneak up on someone that's backed into a corner. Like, they're backed into the corner. They're going to see you coming. Like, that's, you know, so that I think is going to be difficult for them. And that was one of the only ways I thought that they could end up winning this game, is if they just got completely overlooked and the Niners said, yep, yeah, just mark this one a W already. We barely even have to show up for this team. We don't have to play our starters. We can put in our backup, you know, we can do whatever we want and treat it like a preseason game, that type of thing. Not that, you know, a lot of teams do that, but you know how that mindset can be when you're a good team and it's a bad team you're playing. Like, it's something all sorts of teams fall victim to. Hard to do that when the team's backed into a corner. They're going to see you coming, and I think that's going to be a problem.
So my third reason of hope, Optimistic Andy, they call me, is the Patriots are due defensively, I think, in the back end to start forcing turnovers, coming up with turnovers, have a ball pop up in the air and Christian Gonzalez comes down with it. They don't have any interceptions yet. They got a couple fumbles, but as I said, one of those was kind of just a gift from the tight end in the middle of the field in Cincinnati. I think they're good enough, so Jonathan Jones be around the ball. Christian Gonzalez be around the ball. Kyle Duggar be around the ball. Jabril Peppers be around the ball. And if you're around the ball, the old coach cliche, right? Good things happen if you're around the ball. Be around the ball. I don't know if this is just a hopeful one or an actual one, but I think they are due for some turnovers and interceptions, and we all know that turnovers, interceptions are the great equalizer when the two teams aren't necessarily on the same level in terms of talent.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I also think that with Kittle banged up, with Samuel not playing, we don't think, and I like Ayuk. I think he's a good player, but he's not exactly the most physical guy in the world. You have a chance to beat up this team a little bit. You have a chance to go out there and smack them around. I had my other thing just being physical. Like, you can be physical with this team defensively, and I think that that's about due. I think it's time for them to try that out because coverage didn't really work against the Jets. Aaron Rodgers did what he wanted to, trying to be trying to play tough zone or man-to-man coverage didn't necessarily work against Seattle either, and you're going up against a team with weapons, not the same quality or caliber, I'd say, as even Seattle right now with all the injuries that they have, but still a team with some weapons that you're going to have to try and disrupt, and I feel like, just trying to match them one-on-one and go out there and do that isn't enough. You have to impose your will a little bit, and I think that that's what Gerard Mayo's been trying to instill in these guys. Like, Mayo was a hitter when he played. Like, he used to tight ends came over the middle and he'd pop those guys, and I'm waiting for that to sort of reflect in the way that this team plays. But I think that along with the turnovers, that could be a way to slow down the offense, and I think that that's something that's very possible for them to do. All right, what's your last reason for concern?
Very simple. It's two letters, L and T, left tackle. We may get DeMontre Jacobs? Whatever the hell, yes. Jacobs' first name is. Big guy.
Montre the Giant.
Gerard Mayo doesn't know either. So.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it would be laughable if it weren't destroying a season that really probably wouldn't have been very good anyway. But Vedarian Lowe looks like he's probably going to be out again. And you really are at the, no disrespect to Jacobs and his family, the bottom of the barrel in terms of left tackles. You're claiming guys, and a couple weeks later, they're starting at left tackle for you. Mm-hmm. I know I've been told that you can't move Mike Onwenu to left tackle, but would he not be a better option? Like, hasn't he proven he can block at an NFL level? Or is he one of those guys where, God forbid, you ask him to flip it, riverside it from the right side to the left side, he just can't do it? I don't know, but I just think this left tackle thing, they're putting a guy that shouldn't be on an NFL field out there, and he could have to deal with Bosa and that defensive front. Like, that could ruin this game very easily.
That could be a big, big problem, absolutely. But as far as your question about Mike Onwenu, he hasn't been good at right tackle. He hasn't been good wherever he's played so far. No one on this offensive line, I don't think, has really done anything. Mine was, again, similar, not the exact same thing, but you don't have enough playmakers. You don't have enough guys that can get open downfield. You don't have enough guys that can be a safety valve for Jacoby Brissett. We were talking about the screen game. That's really what that's about. Can anybody on this team be an effective safety valve? I thought you saw Pop Douglas take some steps towards that last Thursday, but it certainly wasn't enough to move the offense up and down the field, or certainly not to get in the end zone. You got a couple of plays around, in your own end and around the middle of the field, which is fine. It's something. I mean, at least you had a couple of plays there, but no one has emerged as that kind of consistent player. Hunter Henry in week two was out there until they started to adjust to him in the second half, then you didn't see him again. Pop Douglas, same kind of thing. Like, you can't just force feed any of these guys because they're not good enough for that, but none of them also have emerged as a competent and reliable binky here for Jacoby Brissett, and I think that without that, it's going to be really hard for him to function against the strong defense. All right, there you go. Three reasons for concern, three reasons for hope against these 49ers. 617-779-7937. That is your phone number. We got room for you here on a Patriots Friday. When we come back, the latest on the Drake May timeline. Andrew Callahan over at the Boston Herald yesterday has an interesting theory about Gerard Mayo, a theory that we've teased and talked about. We'll get into all of that with your phone calls right after Brian Frazoco tells you what's trending.